Well, I want to pose a question to you that was posed to me this week in some of my study. And that is, what do you find the most difficult commandment in the Bible is for you to follow? Now, I'm sure if we took a poll and went around this room, there'd be a lot of responses to that. And some of you might say, well, it's covetousness for me. I find some jealousy down in my heart, and I just have a hard time coveting what other people have. Or maybe you're here today and you're like, I have difficulty with what Apostle Paul said to the people at Philippi. He said, don't complain. And try as I might, I'm just a grumbler, I guess, at my heart. Maybe there'd be a variety of responses you might have. But for me, I have to say to you, one of the most difficult commands for me to follow is found in our text right here today. In John 14, where Jesus looked at the disciples and said, let not your heart be troubled. Isn't it difficult in our day? Perhaps as any era of life, but isn't it hard to not let your heart be troubled as we pass through this life? There is so much that can really cause us fright and fear. There's concerns how our children are going to live and manage in their life. There's threat of war and pestilence that seems to abound. Even maybe religious freedom that seems to be evaporating. What just 8 or 10 years ago for the Christian person was unthinkable. Any number of things that can weigh our heart down. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. And you know, when he shared that here, this piece hinges on being confident that Jesus has been risen from the grave and he's provided a way for us for another life. You know, I find the older I get, my mind seems to be turning to some of these passages in Scripture that speak about eternity. And yes, we've heard about it before. And yes, people are concerned about it. Just go to the bookstore and you'll see titles like Heaven is Real. You'll see movies produced. And I've had some people in the congregation saying, Pastor, when are you going to preach a sermon on heaven? I want to know what my future has in store. And so today, in the next few weeks, we are commencing a new worship series called A Field of Dreams. And just to ponder a little bit about our eternal reality. And Jesus spoke on this issue a number of times. And in fact, here, we find him comforting the hearts of the disciples here. Let not your hearts be troubled. You that believe in me, believe also in my Father who sent me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you may be also. And he said there in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father except through me. Now, what is it about home that is so enticing and inviting to us? We love to go on vacation, but I hear people say, boy, it's good to be back home. When people flee and they leave and they finally get back home, it is so wonderful. I remember those back in the Cold War days watching TV one time. Alexander Solzhenitsyn had fled communist Russia. And I remember as a young person watching TV, and after the Berlin Wall collapsed, he was there back in Russia, and he got off the plane and knelt to the ground and kissed the ground, and he said, this is what we've been longing for, to come back home. It's almost like we have a homing device, as a pigeon, if you will, that we just have this hunger and appetite for home. And the older we get, the more we start thinking about that place that Jesus spoke about. And the words that he shared, we find so comforting and satisfying. What is it about heaven that we find that really comforts our heart? Let me say to you today that the Bible says that there is no place like heaven, no place on earth like heaven. And in fact, Apostle Paul says it hasn't even entered into our mind, this place that God has prepared for those who love him. And you know, I'm reminded here as I read the Bible and as I live life that we are just simply passing through life. There's the story of the famous Rabbi Hafez Sham, who lived in Poland, and one day a tourist came to his house and visiting him, wanted to see this very famous rabbi. And when he went into the home, reportedly there was nothing there. There was hardly any furniture in the rabbi's home. Just a chair and a couple of books and a little table. And the tourist said to him, well, where's all your furniture, Rabbi? And the rabbi said, well, where's all your furniture? And he said, well, I'm just a tourist. I'm just passing by. And Sham said, so am I. I'm just passing by. This life is so quick and so fleeting. I wonder today if your thoughts are on that place that God has prepared for those who love him. We crave knowledge, do we not, of tomorrow? We turn to those TV shows, we dial those 900 lines, we seek those books of Nostradamus, we run to horoscopes and soothsayers and palm readers, we look for greener pastures and to climb the fence and see what is beyond. And then we discover that we should have been really running with the Word. The Word of God in our hearts, as Thomas Carlyle, the great Scottish philosopher, said, he who has no vision of eternity will never get a hold of time. I wonder today if you have a hold of time and you realize just how quickly this life is. You know, I find these words just before us here in John 14, the words that Jesus shared, so comforting and gives me so much hope as I pass through this life. And let me just ponder for just a moment some of these words that Jesus shares with us just quickly. And the first one here, we find the certainty here of heaven that is given to us in these words, let not your heart be troubled. I mean, the heart trouble that Jesus is speaking about here is homesickness, is it not? He'd been telling the disciples that he would only be with them for just a little while longer. And the thought of that departure evidently had really sunken into the minds of the disciples. And he could see they were kind of disrupted in their heart about that and heartsick and just couldn't imagine what life would be like without Jesus with them any longer. I mean, here's a guy that cooked breakfast for them and calmed the sea when he was in the storm there in Mark chapter 4 and had healed the blind and the lame and stood up to the Pharisees and shared such incredible truth with them. They couldn't imagine going on without the presence of Jesus in their life. He was their heaven, for where Jesus is heaven. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give us heaven. But here we discover they never do. And here we find it's even inherent in the very fact of God in this text. He surely could talk with authority about the certainty of heaven. Remember, Jesus was speaking those words in the shadow of the cross, for he saw heaven through the gates of death. There's the very certainty of heaven that changed it all when Jesus mentioned those words. And then we even find Jesus kind of alluding to this concept of heaven here when he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. What a glimpse of heaven in a single phrase. Now, home is one of the most tender words that I know in the English language, is it not? What wonderful words here Jesus really spoke to us. It's really a word that best describes heaven, I find, as like Scott read there in Revelation 21, that kind of description of another place. And I know, as I've read some artists that have talked about that incredible description there, with all the precious gems in the foundation of the New Jerusalem, when placed in the order described in that vision there, it forms a perfect harmony that one artist said cannot even be improved upon. I mean, God loves beauty, or he wouldn't have put so much of it in this world, would he not? You wake up in the mornings, you see the incredible sunrises, and you notice the sunsets and all the beautiful things about creation. He made everything beautiful. And in heaven, according to the Bible, you'll find God's beauty at its best. A little girl I know told me one night, said, "Dad," said, "how come, I mean, just in thinking about it," said, "if this is the incredible beauty of here on the earth, how much more is heaven going to be like as described here in the scripture?" We find that the Bible speaks about heaven being a place of reunion. And that's awful comforting. I mean, besides the joy of seeing Jesus, heaven is going to include a reunion. Maybe that's why we like homecoming so well. And reunions, family reunions, and alumni gatherings. And getting to see our friends again. And you know, the Bible speaks about that. Comforting, you remember the words of Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord at his coming?" There's the comfort of thinking about reunion, but also the place of rest that it's going to be. For the Bible also indicates to us we'll have rest from sin, that evil in that day is going to be quarantined and will not be there to defile us. And there'll be rest from sorrow and separation. As the Bible says, God will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there shall be no more sorrow and no more death. There are two things for sure in heaven the Bible speaks about, which can't fail to make us happy. And one is the absence of evil, and the second is such presence of all good. And the first prevents our sorrow, and the second brings us this incredible fullness of joy. And not only reunions, and not only rest that we're going to have that will be incredible, but the Bible also speaks about restoration. The wrongs of this world are going to be righted. The iniquities and the infirmities of this world that we find are going to be corrected. And there will be a day for those who make that journey where blinded eyes are going to be made to see and ears to hear, and the mute will speak and the cripple will run. An incredible place this scripture speaks about. But then we can't help but notice the commendation that's given to us. The access code, if you will, or the key to it all, is found in verse 6, where it says, in the words of Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." You see, Jesus offers himself being the indispensable requirement for entrance into heaven. He says he's the escort here to heaven. He's the truth that educates. He's the way that equips us. Now, with that word, "the way" is used here, it really signifies that Jesus is the means of access. That only Jesus gives us access to the Father and to the Father's house. And he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled, but trust in me." And you know, these are promises here, I have to say, that have really touched my life. And I have found out that nothing is going to happen in the dark that the two of us can't handle together, is what that really says. Put your hope in heaven, and that we're not home yet. There was a rabbi here that shared these words that I find particularly encouraging to me. A Jesuit leader, Pedro Arup, that put it like this. And he said, "Nothing is more practical than finding God." He said, "The person or the thing that you are in love with affects everything in life." And he said, "It determines what you do when you get up in the morning, what you're going to do with your day. It determines what you do in your evenings and how you spend your weekends and what you read and who you spend your time with." and what breaks your heart and what brings you joy. And Pedro says, fall in love with Jesus and stay in love, for your love for him will decide everything. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I hope today that you know this way, truth, and life for you, for it is indeed access into the Father's house. Shall we pray together?